Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. So, if you remember, a couple episodes back, we tried out a story from Mr. Breck with a story about a very small bunny having a very big adventure. Well, today we continue that journey of Nibble to find his mother with the story Nibble Rabbit Learns His Fortune from the book Mostly About Nibble the Bunny, written by John Breck. So, as I predicted, John listened to the other story and loved it, and asked for another story. He actually gave me two stories that he wanted me to read, hence the Little Chief story that came between this story and the one two episodes ago. In today's news, I don't know if it is celebrated around the world or if it's just a United States thing, but happy Groundhog's Day to you. Apparently the groundhog saw his shadow this morning and predicts that there will be six more weeks of winter. Oh well, I guess that means more coffee, books, and inside time. I like inside time because I can get some things done on my list, but I feel like that list never gets smaller of things that need to get done. I guess I'll just keep plugging away at it. So many things to learn, so many things to do. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Nibble Rabbit Learns His Fortune. Not one of the woods folk could make a sound. It was all so sudden it took their breath away. Then the sparrows began to flutter and chirp in their noisy way, and Chatter Squirrel said to nobody in particular, "Great acorns, but that was exciting. 1 minute Glider is playing a trick on Bobby Robin, and the next Silvertip jumps up from nowhere at all and plays the biggest trick on Glider. Whew." "Well," answered Nibble Rabbit, "I've just been thinking that it doesn't matter to me which eats which. They've both tried to eat me since morning." He was still the little brown knot on his log that he had frozen into when Silvertip came past. "Chatter, is Silvertip looking?" "No, he's spread out in the sun, sleeping off his meal," answered Chatter, craning his neck to see where Nibble was hidden. And his eyes fairly popped when that little brown knot slipped down from the far side of the log and limped away. He limped, for not only was Nibble a very tired rabbit from sitting so still, but his little mud boots that he had got in the broad field when he was running away from a Glider were all stiff and uncomfortable. How he did want a wash and a drink and a place to rest. He could hear water whispering not far away, but he didn't dare go through the tunnels in the prickly ash thicket to get to it. So he didn't find the brook he knew. He went farther down where it spread out into a broad pond. It was all edged with reeds and rushes that had some delicious watercress growing up between the roots. He could step on the last year's stalks, which had been bent down by the winter wind, and kept his feet safe from the sticky mud below. Pretty soon, he found a little raft hidden in the middle of a clump of cattails. "This is the place for me," he said to himself. "It's warm in the sun and snug from the wind, and nobody will ever find me." So he curled up and went fast asleep. He awoke to feel a shadow falling across him. He looked up into the homeliest face he had ever seen. It was pointed, like his own, but fatter, and it had little cropped ears and sleepy, blinky eyes and long yellow teeth that flashed when it said severely, "What are you doing here?" Poor Nibble. He was only half awake. He had forgotten where he was, and it's rabbit's nature to jump first and think while you run. He jumped. His feet slipped. He splashed, and the water closed over his long ears. Then didn't he kick and strangle? No sooner did he get his poor little nose out than it went under again. But the second time the green water parted, and his scared eyes could see the rushes waving in the lovely air, and his lungs could get one more breath that tasted as sweet as clover in the spring, he felt a grip on the back of his neck. A gruff voice growled, "Take your time. You should learn to swim." The next thing he knew, he was being shaken very hard. "Cough," ordered the gruff voice. "Shake your head till you get the water out of your ears. Now eat this." And Nibble swallowed a peppery bite of root that made his eyes pop and set the tears streaming down his whiskers. "Who are you?" he gasped. "Dr. Muskrat, of course," answered the voice. "You couldn't be in better paws." But poor Nibble Rabbit thought he couldn't very well be in worse ones, which was very ungrateful. "I'd rather be eaten than choked to death," he thought, "but this awful old animal is perfectly satisfied with himself for doing it. Ah, oh, uh-huh," he coughed, and Dr. Muskrat sat back and looked more wise and pleased than ever. "I knew that would open your eyes," he explained. "It was a flag root gnawed in the wax of the moon. You see, I know what every plant in the marsh is good for, and I dry them for my medicine chest." "What would have happened if you hadn't given it to me?" asked Nibble weakly. "I didn't risk it," said Dr. Muskrat, "so of course I don't know. I gave you the proper remedy as soon as you could swallow, so of course you're all right now." In the full of the moon, eyes open soon, plucked in the wane, eyes close again, he quoted. "That's the rule for flag root. Now I'll put you to sleep with the other dose if you need a rest, and I'll stay right here and watch you." "Oh no," protested Nibble. He was just beginning to breathe, and he didn't want any more of kind Dr. Muskrat's medicines. "I must look for my mother under Hooter the Owl's tree." "First," said the doctor, looking at him very severely, "you must clean yourself up and put your fur in order. If your feet hadn't been all caked with mud, you wouldn't have slipped." "They were very uncomfortable, too," Nibble agreed, glad that his swim had melted his boots at last. "I kept them on so Glider the Blacksnake couldn't track me." And he told his experience with Glider and the fox. "Nevertheless," said Dr. Muskrat, "you weren't safe because you couldn't keep your nose clean and smell all around you, nor your ears clean so you could hear. Always be sure you know everything about it before you decide to try something new. For instance, rabbits don't belong in a marsh, do they?" "No," murmured Nibble, "but it looked so hidden and so safe." "So hidden," Dr. Muskrat snorted. "It's a mercy it was I who found you, and not Slyfoot the Mink. So safe that you nearly drowned when you tried to get away. Now you say you want to visit the owl's tree. Is that any place for a rabbit? Answer me that." "No," wailed Nibble. "But I want my mother, and I don't know where else to look. If that old owl did catch her, he might as well take me too. Glider the Blacksnake almost did, and Silvertip nearly ate me instead of him. He might as well. Nobody cares anyhow if my mother's gone. Why didn't you just let me drown?" Which was no way at all of thanking Dr. Muskrat for having rescued him. And tears of sorrow mingled with the tears that came from the awful medicine the old doctor had given him. But Dr. Muskrat's feelings weren't hurt in the least. He could see that poor little Nibble was badly scared and all clammy and cold from his ducking besides. "What you need," he said in his gruff voice, trying to make it sound really kind, is a nap and some light but refreshing nourishment. What'll it be? A fat frog? No? I forgot that all of us don't eat the same things. Let's see. He thought a minute, and Nibble could see his nose twitch as though he imagined he were sniffing things as they came into his mind. Then he licked his lips. I know, he said, and at the word, his scaly tail cut the water like a knife where it closed behind his vanishing heels. A minute passed. 2, 4. What had happened to him? Nibble began to remember how ungrateful he had been. He also remembered that Slyfoot the Mink might be creeping up, or the brown March Hawk peering about as he flew by. He craned his neck and saw something floating down from upstream as softly as a stick in the current. It was the fat old doctor with a big root in his mouth. He slipped up beside Nibble without a sound. I had to scour the bottom to find this, he explained. It's water chinquapin, and it has properties. He said this so mysteriously that Nibble dared not ask him what properties were, so he tasted a little very carefully to see. Did you ever taste a water chinquapin yourself? It's delicate and jelly-like, but so sweet and rich that you'd risk stepping on old Grandpa Snapping Turtle himself to get some more. Nibble scraped the very rind of it, and then he thanked Dr. Muskrat for taking so much trouble over him. Well, growled the old doctor in a very pleased tone, I'm glad you have found your manners, if not your courage. Now snuggle up and go to sleep. And so Nibble cuddled against him in a nice warm lump to sleep off his fullness. He didn't wake until the pink reflections from the setting sun were dying out of the west and stars were already twinkling in the sky. Dr. Muskrat was studying their reflections where they sparkled in the pool. He was saying something to himself. By dusk and by dawn he shall travel alone, and all troubles are his excepting his own. Is that right? And he pricked his ears. Nibble's own ears flew up, but he couldn't hear a word from those stars, dancing softly on the water in the night wind. That was because this was deep and secret magic. You awake? Asked Dr. Muskrat. Well, that fortune was yours. I asked the stars most particularly. They wouldn't tell me anything about your mother, but from the way they're smiling, I feel sure you're going to find her in the end. They did say that Slyfoot had gone across the pond, so you had better hurry to the bank and find the quail. Which last was strictly true and not magic at all, because the stars had danced very hard in Slyfoot's ripples.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle found its place in history. and to come to a final stop.